It is 26 after the hour, and it's a Wednesday, and we welcome Dr. Don Clark. Don, a member of the board at Creation Moments. He's a biochemist and a viticulturist, a vigneron. That's the French word, though, isn't it?
Yes, a vigneron takes care of the vineyard,
and well, you do that.
The vintner takes care of the winemaking.
So what do you have two V's on your business card, then? Vintner and vigneron, both.
Yeah, VV. Okay.
PhD and VV, Dr. Don Clark from Garden Valley, Texas. That's just out about 80 miles east of Dallas or so, and it's a beautiful part of Texas, and he makes it home. You've spoken often about we've wandered all over the place with our discussions. I mean, we're taking advantage of your scientific and your pharmaceutical experience. We've covered COVID, and of course originally it was all biblical creation and Genesis, and you're one of the best Genesis teachers I've ever encountered. This topic is a little different today, and it has to do with ethics and science. It seems there was this closed-door meeting called. In fact, it was called by Senator Schumer, and he invited a couple of dozen big tech people, and Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, and who knows how many other people. And the purpose was to get opinions from these tech giants on how artificial intelligence should be governed by the government. What kind of controls should we impose? He's pushing for legislation to control artificial intelligence, particularly. He wanted their opinion. But this Breakpoint article, I should put this in a link to it in the chat window. Breakpoint article makes the point that not invited to the meeting were ethicists, philosophers, or theologians, really anyone outside highly specialized tech industry. And he relates some history with George W. Bush, when in his second term, he put together a council to deal with research and work on human embryos. But he included those people, the theologians, the philosophers, the ethicists, and they came up with some very sound rulings on that kind of government work. His successor, Mr. Obama, recomposed the council, eliminated the ethicists, the philosophers, the theologians, and well, dealt with just scientists, and their demand was to only talk about fetus termination. You know, how should it be done? So the question is, if there are no ethicists, philosophers, or theologians included in this kind of a conference, where have we gone wrong? What is the worth of those people to us today? They're not called upon anymore.
Right, exactly. And there's a reason why they're not called upon. And when you first started off, the thought came to me, that this special meeting, closed-door meeting, not
yes.
Not in the public, so we don't know exactly what they discussed, you get the impression, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That question was asked. And so can anything good come out of a situation like this where you don't have any type of theologians, you don't have God's perspective on the problem,
mm-hmm.
and man does not have a good track record on handling these types of things. As a matter of fact, I mean, you talked about going back, going to Genesis or talking about Genesis. we can go back, for example, when I read this article, I thought of Genesis 11, which was the Tower of Babel, as the first nine verses in Genesis 11 talks about the Tower of Babel. And so just to bring our minds back to that particular situation, we had the earth had just experienced a global flood. Noah and the seven others, that is his wife and his three sons and their wives, were saved in the ark from God's wrath, which was the flood. And then after almost a year, not quite a year, the flood, of course, subsides, It only rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but it took a lot longer for the water to subside off the earth and for the earth to start producing again. And Noah finally opens the door to the ark, and all the animals, and of course, they come out. Well, by the time you get to chapter 11 of Genesis, and one of the first things that God says to Noah, reemphasizes again, was to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Well, okay, that shouldn't be that difficult. We just, you know, we don't hang around together. We migrate to various areas of the earth, and we start filling the earth. So in other words, we don't populate big cities. And so the first thing that the people do is they migrate. They move from the east to the west, and they migrate to a plain in Shinar, and they start building cities. And they built one city right in the middle of three other cities, which they said, hey, let's build a tower up to heaven. And so why do they want to build a tower up to heaven? Well, it goes to the heart of man. One, they were immediately disobeying God by just sticking all together and not being dispersed. But the other was so that they could reach up to heaven, but the underlying principle there was, we want to be like God. So we're going to build this tower up to heaven, and we're going to be like God, and we're going to rule from this giant tower. Now, the man who was leading the charge was a fellow who was called Nimrod. And, you know, the Bible talks about him as being a great hunter. Well, he was a great hunter, and he was, you know, he did have great skills, and he probably had great skills at persuading people that they needed to come together. And so, but he also was a great hunter of man, and turning man's hearts away from God, which got people into trouble before the flood, but turning man's hearts away from God and turning their hearts towards him to make him like God, which, you know, we know this is been Satan's plan from the very beginning, from the garden and all of this other stuff. And so because they spoke one language, and let me pull that up real quick, because it's important to get the message here. And the Lord, this is Genesis 11:6. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do now be impossible for them. So, in other words, they can, you know, God was saying, hey, you know, they're working together, everybody's together, they're of one mind, nothing that they propose in their hearts will be impossible for them. And, you know, I take this artificial intelligence and technology, this is the heart behind it, that nothing will be impossible, you know, for us. This is only the start. Man will artificial intelligence is going to lead us into a new era. We are going to be able to do almost anything. See, and
that leads me to a question. If we can do it, should we do it?
Well, that is the question, and the answer to that is no. So and artificial intelligence is already has eliminated. God came down and confused the languages. So, you know, God says, hey, nothing is going to be impossible for them. Let us come down and we'll confuse the languages and force them to disperse upon the earth, right? And otherwise, he would have had to destroy them almost immediately again, which he already did. Confuses the languages. We get many different types of languages. They can't work together anymore. And now, you know, you've got the various tribes that migrate to various parts of the world, which was God's plan all along and not Satan's plan. And so artificial intelligence has already eliminated the various languages of the world. If you wanted to speak to anybody on this earth, especially the more popular languages right now, I'm talking about Chinese and Japanese and, you know, French and, of course, all of the Latin languages and the Germanic languages and everything. Those applications have already been written. We've got you can put an earplug in your ear, and there could be another earplug in the other person's ear. It translates the words that you're speaking into their language, and when they speak, it translates their language into your language so that you can communicate back and forth. Thereby, nothing will be impossible for you as a people group. Because now all the people group of the world can be united into one, and whatever they so choose to do, they can do. Now, is that God's plan? Well, obviously not. It is not God's plan, and so there are some things within the artificial intelligence, and you'd mentioned the stem cell research and the embryonic stem cell. I remember when that debate was going on, and it was only because we had a president who humbled himself before the Lord that we were able to stem, if you will, that type of research for a period of time. But as soon as an ungodly president got into office, that didn't protect us anymore, and the research continued, even though adult stem cell research has produced far better and results than the embryonic stem cell research. It still hasn't produced anything positive like the adult stem cell have. So nowadays, if if people who get stem cell injected into their system, their cells, stem cells, are removed from their own body, so they're homologous to themselves, which is the best part, and they're grown up in tissue culture and then multiplied and then re-injected into the person. And so various cancers have been cured this way, as well as other types of diseases. So we've seen remarkable progress along those lines when we follow the godly program, but we haven't seen the fruit. Matter of fact, we've seen negative fruit coming out of when we try to destroy human life in an effort to save other human life. And when you look at that model is already practiced in China. And why is it practiced in China? Because they give no value to human life. And so if you pay me enough money, I'll go find somebody over here that you need a kidney? No problem. We find somebody over here that we just take their kidney without permission, and then we'll ship it to you, and away you go. Or a liver, or whatever part it is that you need. The Chinese are already offering that type of service to anybody who has a lot of money. So ethics needs to be brought into all of this. And without the church, without the wisdom of God, man is destined to destruction. And that's where we're heading. And even though Schumer says, well, we want to put controls, should government, have some controls over all of this? Everybody in that room agreed that, there should be some government involvement and be the guiding post, if you will. But if you have a corrupt government, if you have an ungodly government, what type of results are you going to get from that? It's like you're going to get the opposite results. So any technology company that has any degree of ethics about what they're doing and complains about another company, for example, that is not following an ethical program, the one that is following an ethical program could be shut down by the government, and the other, negative, ungodly thing would obviously be promoted by an ungodly government.
I'm thinking, where does the ethic come from in drafting legislation if there's no ethic there to begin with?
It comes from man's wisdom, and we know where man's wisdom, leads. You've got to have an out-of-this-world perspective, and we're not capable of that on our own. That has been proven from civilization, that man does not lead, his thinking does not lead to the right choice. And hence, God, by the time we get to Moses, in the Bible, Moses is leading his people out of Egypt, and he was successful in doing that. But, God stops Moses at Mount Sinai and says, hey, I got some instructions for your people, for my people, and why don't you come up here, Moses, and we'll talk about it. And so Moses not only gets the architectural design, if you will, for the Ark of the Covenant, but more importantly, he gets the Ten Commandments, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, worship only one God, and the Ten Commandments, which used to be posted in schools and in the courtroom, but have been taken out. And that's where our society started to degrade.
I'm going to take a long theological leap here, and you can put me in my place if you feel the need. But I'm thinking, God is vexed by all this, but not surprised, in that this is part and parcel of his plan for the human race, which is likely designed to give us no other option than to turn to him. But we're not quite at that point yet.
Well, that seems to be the case. Now, if you read Revelation and understand Revelation, at least from the perspective of the Old Testament, because a lot of the Revelation can be understood from Old Testament, because Old Testament parallels pretty much everything that is written in Revelation, except for the letter chapters. But we already know that man is going to degrade, and we already know because Jesus's disciples asked him, he said, when will these things, take place? And we already know that one of these signs is it was as it was in the days of Noah. And of course the scripture goes on to talk about people giving in marriage and that type of thing, but that's not the important aspect of how was it at in the times of Noah. In the times of Noah, man's hearts was continuously evil, and that is ultimately where man is going to go, is that our hearts will be continuously evil. Now, not our hearts. I mean, not the believers' hearts, because obviously right now we have the Holy Spirit who convicts us of when we do something wrong and says, hey, you need to apologize to that person for what you did. And we say, yes, Lord, and we go and apologize. But for those that do not believe in God, and do not have the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them, and do not read Scripture, so they don't have Scripture to lead them and guide them, the path is only downward, and that path always leads to destruction, and ultimately man's hearts will be continuously evil once again. And that's when God, Jesus himself, returns for his second coming, and the wrath of God is poured out upon the earth as it was in the days of Noah.
I just got a Pew Research questionnaire in the mail, and it wasn't to us, so I read through it and then I threw it away. So, but one of the questions was, do you object to the government referring to this as a Christian nation? And I read that and I thought, what an odd question. What an odd question. What are they getting at? And this is from the Pew Research people, the National Public Radio supporting Pew Research. And what an odd question. Most of the rest of the questionnaire was about religion. And they were looking for demographic information. What religion do you belong to? Or you do ascribe to? What have you... You know, do you know a lot of people in that group? Those kinds of things. But do you object to the government calling this a Christian nation? I found that an odd question.
Well, it is, you know, to those of us who are a little bit older, you know, we do. It is a puzzling thing because America was born out of Christian principles. Mm-hmm. And so that's our roots. But as you're well aware, especially over the past 3 years, those Christian roots have been ripped up from mm-hmm. the foundations of our country. And things are happening that, you know, we just shake our heads at. We say, you know, why is this taking place? And it's because, I believe, it's because of the failure of the church. It's because we haven't passed on from generation to generation the word of God and, you know, God's principles and statutes as, you know, we are commanded to. And I don't know if we could call ourselves a Christian nation anymore. I mean, there was a time, you know, in our history when probably at least 70% of the people were believers, certainly believers in God and believers in the Judeo-Christian God. Now, I don't think that number is certainly not 70%. Is it 50%? Hmm. Maybe. Maybe it's 40%. Maybe it's 30%. Maybe the, you know, we have turned around. And if it's, you know, if it's less than 50%, then the answer to the question is no, we're not a Christian nation. We're just another heathen nation, like the nations of the world. And of course, mm-hmm. that's exactly what Satan wants. That's exactly what the globalists want. They want a heathen nation. They want, you know, non-believers, because the only opposition to their program are people who believe in God and mm-hmm. people who believe in God's word that says, hey, you know what? This is not right. Abortion is not right. You know, lawlessness is not right. You know, having riots in the streets and paying for the leaders of those riots is not right. You know, these types of things. And, you know, but now we have the younger generation saying, oh, but that's such a honorable cause that, you know, they're justified in their actions. Nobody isn't justified in actions in destroying property and in injuring people. Where did the justification come from? It came mm-hmm. from an abased mind, and it came from an ungodly mind.
Well, I would suggest that God is dependent, and I use that term advisedly. His plan is to use the remnant of Christians here to remain strong and speak loudly so that there will be at least somebody crying in the wilderness at the bitter end when Christ returns.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with you. Now is not the time to cower. Now is the time to be bold. You know, God told Joshua three times, be bold. You know, you got a challenge ahead of you because you got to lead this scruffy nation to clean up the promised land. So you got to be bold, be strong, be of good courage. And I think that's the message of God telling us Christians today to be bold and be strong.